Hi, you've tuned in to School of Ministry podcast. Today is Throwback Thursday. We're replaying one of the favorite old podcasts that we had on His Eye is on the Sparrow. I hope you're greatly blessed and encouraged today. Hope you enjoy.
Hello and welcome. You've tuned in to the School of Ministry podcast. Paul is your Bible teacher today. If you have questions you would like addressed, let us know. Maybe you have a need in your life and want to know how the Bible gives answers that apply to us today, feel free to contact us. Now enjoy the lesson.
Matthew chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse 27 through 33. My very first message as a young, brand new preacher was on clouds. And I went through the concordance and looked at all of the various verses that spoke about clouds, and I just read them. So I'm doing the same thing today, but on sparrows. I looked up the word sparrow because at our house we've got lots of trees, we've got birds galore. You can look over in the eucalyptus trees on this side, and we have vultures. They perch there at night. All of the buzzards, we have owls and hawks. As a matter of fact, we have to watch out for our little dog, Marley, because about 5 pounds, I'm afraid an owl or a hawk is going to take her away. We have crows, lots of woodpeckers, and sparrows galore. If you just looked at my car, you would say, oh yeah, you guys have lots of birds out there. In Alaska, we saw bald eagles, and we saw all kinds of birds. And maybe you're not into bird watching, but I want to show you something from God's Word, that His eye is on the sparrow. Let me read for you. Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 27, says, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather, fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." Our world is going through something that Jesus called birth pains or birth pangs, depending on the version you read. Now, as we are nearing the return of Christ, when Jesus spoke about that there would be wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, and that's exactly what the world is experiencing now with the coronavirus. And this is just another sign of His return, that all creation can feel it. But birth pangs, like a woman about to give birth, they come more frequent. They come stronger and stronger until finally the baby arrives. That's what our world's experiencing. Now, I'm not saying that I know when Christ is coming. I don't know the day or the hour. I'm not setting a date for His return. But everywhere this is on people's minds. This outbreak is unprecedented. People are worried. They're panicking. And this is a good time for us to use this as an opportunity to witness to people about what's going on. And when I say the word witness, just talk to people. Just talk to them about what you know of God's Word. We don't have to preach. We don't have to have a great expository message. All we need to do is tell them, this is what the Bible says, and we know the Lord is coming. And we've got to see the blessings in this, because we are in a time where there's some great blessings. For we're able to reach out today by technology and get to gather together through technology. What a blessing. Parents are now home and have time with their children. Many parents, even though it's sad what may be happening in the workforce, many parents are getting reacquainted with their children. You know, the Old Testament ends in the book of Malachi with that thought that the hearts of the fathers are turned to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Well, before the coming of the Lord has promised that's exactly what's going to happen. Nowadays, homeschooling is happening. It's being required of everyone. You know, when Sylvia and I started homeschooling many, many years ago, it was amazing because it was illegal. We had to try to do it underground. And now, you can't send your children to school. You're being asked to homeschool. This world is fickle. That's what I'm saying. This world flip-flops. It goes back and forth. I want to encourage you to anchor your soul in Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll look at today. By the way, if you have in your Bibles, I'm going to read now in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 1 through verse 8. This is very similar to what we just read in Matthew, and we're going to hook these together. It says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another. I'm going to stop right there. They trampled. I don't know how many times I've read this scripture and read over that and not looked at that, but that they had come out in such droves to hear and see Jesus. They wanted the message that Christ had so much that they began to trample one another. I heard about some folks in one of the stores. They were fighting over paper towels. And they were trampling over one another to get their hands on paper towels. Now, I'm old enough to remember Mom's old dish towels became dish rags. That was before we had paper towels. So maybe you remember the days before we had paper towels. But what's happening in this, in Luke chapter 12? They're trampling one another to get to Jesus. And so what does he do? He calls the disciples. And he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear, in the inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after have no more that they can do, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he has killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But there the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. That's what I wanted us to look at. We talked about in Matthew how 2 sparrows were sold for 1 copper coin. That's, in the Bible times, that was worth about 1 cent each. In our day, the value would be about $1. But in Luke, there's a special deal. You can get 5 for $4, 75 cents each. There's an odd sparrow. And that's what I want to talk to you today about, the odd sparrow. You know, in Bible times, lepers were kept apart from society. A stay-at-home rule, if you were. They were quarantined in a sense. And in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 4, when a leper was cleansed, he was to show himself to the high priest and then to make an offering. And he brought 2 birds. The birds, along with hyssop and other herbs and offerings, one of the sparrows was killed. The blood was mixed with water, and then all of the ingredients, the hyssop, the other sparrow, were dipped into that bloody water, and the other sparrow was let to fly away, showing that the leper was free to go where he would. That's the odd sparrow. Why a sparrow? Well, the cost was something that a leper could afford. The cost was something that lepers who had been very poor, they weren't able to work, they weren't able to do anything but beg, costing about 1 cent. And that day, they could afford a sparrow. And one of the sparrows was set free, that odd sparrow. Why is it that Luke says that there were 5 sparrows? That's the point of my message. God cares for what seems unimportant. God cares for you, and sometimes when you think, who is he? He's got so much to worry about. He's got so much going on. How could he care for me? But in Psalm 56 and verse 8, it says, you number my wanderings, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not in your book? Did you know God was in the bottling business? He bottles your tears. He marks them down. He keeps track because God is interested in what seems to be unimportant. He cares for you. He cares about the odd sparrow. He cares what's happening in your life. You know, the best formula for the eyes are tears. You can go buy the bottled eye drops. They don't come close to what God has made naturally. Many times, ophthalmologists will just tell you, you need to keep your eyes closed so that they'll water and that the tears can do the work to restore the eye. Because we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, but made with a purpose. He is the God of the living. He is the God that cares for you, not the dead, not the God of the dead. For the Christian, when we die, we're still living. We've gone from one form to another. Even the sinner goes from one form to another. You know, when you put wood in the fire, it just changes form. You get the heat, you get the light from the fire, you get the smoke. However, it just changes form. That's what's going to happen when we die. We just change form. In Psalm 102, a prayer for the afflicted shows God's eternal love and his care for even us. Here's another one of those verses. One of those verses that I found about the sparrow. Verse 7. It says, I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on a housetop. Now, sparrows are sociable birds. They like to flock together. They like to jump together and feed together. And they stay together. This speaks of something that's happened to that sparrow's mate, to that sparrow's family. The odd sparrow. Today, in our day and age, we have more depression, more loneliness, more suicide than ever before. It's like the two little girls that were in the hospital. One of them wanted to cry out and ask God to help her. But she said, how will God know who I am? And little Annie, her neighbor, said, well, put your arms out on the bed table and just tell him, oh, Lord, I'm the one with my arms out. He cares for you. He cares what's going on. He cares for the little girl. We just need to put our arms outspread. What does he think of you? What does he think about you? He has so much to take care of. He has so many worlds, so many planets and stars and all that's going on. What does he know about you? When you feel alone, when you're feeling low, when you're feeling like nobody cares, when you're feeling that nobody's out there. And let me tell you, I know 18 years of sitting in a prison cell, I know what loneliness is. I know how even you might have 1,200 other people around, but you're all alone. But let me tell you, some days, and sometimes that's going to end up being the best days of your life. I can tell you now that I am content. My wife has stayed with me, and you know what? We're closer than ever before. We're in the best days of our life. The friendship, the fellowship, I've never considered how blessed we would be. Now I get to choose what I want to eat. I get to choose where I want to go. You see, we have so many blessings that we take them for granted. And let me just tell you that you cannot rest in God until you nest in the Lord. You cannot rest in God until you nest in the Lord. Jesus is not only your Savior, but he is your sustenance. I had a man call me a week ago, and he told me what a blessing I had been in his life for many years. But that's not me. That was just because we tried to show him the love of God. And that's a job all of us can have. That's a job for each of us, to be a blessing to someone else, to reach out to someone else, to show their love of God in their lives, because there are people that are lonely, there are people that are hurting, they're out there, and they need to know that God cares even for the odd sparrow. He cares for you. Be a blessing to someone. You know, Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God." We don't understand that all things work together for good. We just know it. Why? Because that's what the Word says. The Word says we know that all things. We don't know how He's going to do it. I may not understand all that He's going to do. But I know this, that God cares for you even at your lowest point and even at your highest point. Think about John the Baptist. John the Baptist sent word of question to Jesus. Are you the one, or should we look for another? Now think about, John was sitting alone in a dungeon, not like my old prison cell. You know, I had a mat, even though maybe 40 or 50 people had used that mat before. It wasn't quite like old John in that dungeon, that dark, putrid dungeon. He's at a very low point in his life. Now, it's one thing to stand on Jordan and give it out, and it's another thing to sit in a prison dungeon and have to take it. Jesus didn't bawl him out. He just sent a message that everything was on track. You tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the dead are raised. In other words, Jesus was saying, look, it's all on schedule. I'm right on track. I'm right on schedule. It's all going as planned. You tell John I'm on schedule. But here's the forgotten beatitude. Blessed is he who is not offended at me. When you can't figure out what God's doing, or when you say, where are you, Lord? By the way, don't let yourself talk to you. You talk to yourself. Does that make sense? Sometimes our old Adam wants to raise up and wants to tell us, and our mind tries to say, well, this is the way it should be. And we've got to put on the mind of Christ and let Christ be the one who is talking to us. Let the Word of God, let the mind that is now renewed do the talking. Put that old Adam down. You live it whether you feel it or not, because that's who we're called. Well, why did Jesus come to a little land of Israel? There were greater cities. He could have gone to Rome. He could have gone to Athens. There were more influential places. There were more influential people. But he started in Israel to a people who are looking and needing a Savior. And I tell you, that's where we need to go. We need to go to a people that are looking and wanting a Savior. Jesus didn't mix with the upper crust when he came. He came to the common people. He came to a little unimportant country. Then when he rose from the dead, he didn't run back to Pilate. He didn't run over to Herod. Say, look, I'm back. I'm back from the dead. No. He found a weeping woman at the sepulcher. He found time to have dinner with two disciples on their way to Emmaus. He told some poor fishermen who had worked all night, caught nothing. Now, that's a fishtail, I believe. They had caught nothing, and he tells them how to fish. And he doesn't bawl out Peter for denying him, but he takes time to restore him. He takes time to bring him back into fellowship. He takes time because he is interested in the little things, the odd sparrow. His eye is on the sparrow. I found another verse about a sparrow, by the way. It's found in Psalm 84:3. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. When you abide, like the sparrow living in the very temple of God. Imagine that, because that's what he's talking about in Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord my God. How lovely is it. And here was a sparrow that had made her nest in the very temple of God. When you abide like this sparrow, living in the very temple of God, you abide in that secret place of the Lord. The heart still longs for a hiding place. And you know you can't hide from God. We as preachers, we have all these great theological terms. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. And all that it means is that God is so great that he can take care of you. Just like he can take care of the odd sparrow. Just like he can take care of that little one. He cares for you. Your heart can't hide from God. There's nowhere in all of the omnis, there's nowhere you can go to hide from God and nowhere that you can get away from him and nothing that you can do that will ever remove his love from you because he cares for you and sent Jesus Christ to die that you could have eternal life. You can't escape from God except in one way. When your life is hidden in Jesus Christ, think of that. Your life is hidden in Christ, in God. Then you escape. You escape all of that. When Christ is your home, you're always at home. You can't go away from home and die. Many people say, I want to die at home. But when you're in Christ and you die at home. You see, we have to begin to think like the Bible says. We have to have this new mindset. We have to have a different way of looking at things. His eye is on the sparrow. I know he watches me. Do you know that he watches you? Do you know that he loves you, that he cares for you? He cares for that fifth sparrow, the odd sparrow. He cares for that sparrow that's all alone. He cares about you. He knows the very hair on our head. He's numbered them. He knows us so well. We can't go out anywhere and get away from God.
Thank you for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the message. If you want to hear Paul in person and are in the Stockton, California area, we invite you to join us at Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, 301 East Alpine Avenue. That's near the University of the Pacific. He brings the Bible message every Sunday at 11 a.m. and other times as listed. We trust you've been encouraged, challenged, or generally built up spiritually. If this lesson has sparked questions on this or other topics, please see our contact information in the description or email us at sclofministry@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.